gracias.
God, we just thank you so much that we can come. God, that we can be standing here in your presence, knowing that you are with us, God. God, we just pray that you would sink that truth deep into our hearts tonight, God. That no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, God, that you're with us. We know that. We believe that, Jesus.
Why are you striving in these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? Why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Just don't turn away. Why are you looking for love? Why are you still searching as if I'm not enough?
Thankful, God, you're still holding us right now, but there's those that are broken, and you're holding them, God. Yes. Right now, God, you are here. And every second of the day, you are here. And God, we believe that, and we just meditate on that truth, God, and we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Yes. Thank you, God. You're the definition of love. And so wherever you are, there's your love, there's your presence, your freedom. It says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God, you bring every part of you to every situation of our lives, every single part of you, God. God, we thank you for your love. God, we delight in your love. God, we respond to your love tonight.
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. Will I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son? Oh, when I feel your hands of grace rest upon me. Staying desperate for you, God. Staying humbled at your feet. Well, I will lift these hands and face. Well, I will believe. Well, I will find myself of all that you've done. Of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out, remind my soul that
experience your love, they're changed forever. God, when they receive this free gift you've given, your life poured out on the cross, You didn't have to, but you wanted to. And Father, it was your will. So it was your will to crush your son, not because you wanted to crush him, but because you wanted to make a way for us. Love came down and made a way. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Thank you that you sent your Spirit. Now we are one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. We are one with you, Holy Spirit. We thank you.
With you forever, with you forever. closer and take me a little deeper. Wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. Cause your love is so much stronger than anything I faced. And wanna know your heart. Take me a little deeper. Wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. Cause your love is so much stronger than anything I've faced. And wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart.
No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. There's no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. Down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. Well, I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Stronger than anything I've faced, and wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. So pull me a little closer and take me a little deeper. I wanna know your heart. I wanna know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. Wanna know your heart. Wanna know your
God, we want you, we need you, and we have you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Wow, that was really good, guys. Thank you so much. While they were singing, I thought of a really strange quote, and so I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. And I can't even remember who it was. I think it was Rockefeller. And he was interviewed, and they asked him, how much is enough? Because he's, at the time, was one of the richest men in the world. How much is enough? And somebody can correct me if I'm on the wrong track with that quote, but his answer was, just a little bit more. That's how much is enough money, right? Just a little bit more. I thought, well, how much more, how much is enough of God? Especially a little bit more. And that's what we were singing about tonight. And it was so amazing. It just so uplifted. And I just reminded as we were worshiping tonight how good God really is. You know, sort of like I said, today didn't start off to be a typical day for our church setup. We knew Dan was going to be gone and Carrie. We knew that we were going to be without sound system. We had a backup. And at the very last minute, that didn't work out. And I was thinking, okay, God, well, you know what you're doing. You know, and I was thinking, okay, well, I'm certainly not going to sing, but that would not be God honoring at all. But we could do something, you know, we'll figure something out. And then, I don't know, Ricky, let me call Kim, see what she thinks. And Kim said, I got it. And she called Robert and they worked it out. And Christina? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Christina, a new friend. Welcome, Christina. Thank you so much for joining. Yeah. So anyway, God's just so good. He just always blows our minds. Tonight, what I want to do, well, let me go through a couple little announcement sort of things first. If you have not done it yet, and I'm looking at Jenna, and there's some other friends, we have welcome cards. and Christina, We have welcome cards, and I really love if you guys could at least get us your email address, some way that we can get a hold of you, because that would just be a really good thing. And one of the reasons why we need to be able to get a hold of each other is something's coming up this week, actually. Well, it'll be actually more like next week. But the 4th of July is coming up, and several weeks back, I can't remember now, maybe a month ago, 3-4 weeks ago, we did a live recording here at our service, and we recorded some worship songs, and the CD's been produced, I think. I wasn't here last week, but I think a couple songs got played from the CD. We're going to be handing out CDs at 4th of July. And we would love for everybody that can be here to have some. And I don't want us to, like, you know, do this, like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say anything negative. I won't say anything negative. Like, certain religious groups that hand stuff out and that it can kind of be, I just want it to be natural. I just want us, if you run into somebody you know and you're excited and you start talking to them, use the CD as a way to just mention the Lord. Hey, you know, there's a new church in town in Cayucas. It meets at the school. Here's a CD of the worship music. I think you'll really like it. Come check it out Sunday night, 6 o'clock. So if you'd be up for getting a handful of those to hand out to friends and people as you contact them, especially over 4th of July weekend, we want to get you some. So unfortunately, there won't be another Sunday before then to hand them out. So we will probably put information out on our Facebook page, through email contacts, but at some point in time, they will be handed out, and we'll work that out. So stay tuned. Check out the Facebook page for more information. If you don't have Facebook,
get it.
Get it just for that only, and you can cancel it after 4th of July. No, seriously, our website is hopelivingchurch.com, and you can get on there. And also, my notes are, if you click on there, there's a place where I have a blog. You can click on the blog, and I'll put a blurb on there as well. So hopelivingchurch.com or one way or the other, but just stay in touch. Or if nothing else, I'll have a bunch of them. Find somebody 4th of July, and we'll have some to hand out, okay? We'll make sure we get them out. That's really important.
Will they be ready before the 4th of July?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's mastered. We've got a friend that's going to be duplicating the CDs for us this week. We've got the materials already, the inserts, the little flyer that goes on it with the song stuff and graphics that Daniel produced that are really nice. So it will be ready. That's a faith statement. It will be ready before the 4th of July. All right. So anyway, just one of the things, again, that as we were worshiping together, this is all free material. It's not part of the notes. I was just excited to be in this room with you guys worshiping the Lord, and just there was just something special tonight. I felt like as our hearts were reaching out to the Lord that, you know, we're going to all be together. We're already, if you know Jesus, you're already an eternal person. It's not like you're going to die and become an eternal person. We're, like I mentioned, Jen, I'll keep picking on her since she's in the front row. That's why people don't sit in the front row, because they're easy to pick on. But I'm gonna get to hang out with her forever. And each one of you in this room and the one next to you, and we're going to get to hang out forever. This is just like one day of forever. We're already in there. And so it's just an exciting thing that we, you know, we may change suits. Pastor Neil back there, he likes to call it the earth suit, this thing that we live in while we're here. And, you know, we're going to change it for one that doesn't corrupt, that doesn't get sore knees and bad backs and all that, and weak memories, which is my problem. We're going to get to do that forever, and I'm really excited to be able to do that with you guys. I think it's going to be fun. I know it's going to be fun. Why wouldn't it be? So I think that's enough of the preliminary stuff. Let's get into the Word. We're in a series of messages on the heart matters. And as I said on the first one, I was kind of cheesy, but I said, you can say the heart matters two different ways. You can say the heart matters, which it does. Or you could say, the heart matters. So anyway, I don't know why I said that, but it's just one of those things you go, that's right. Anyway, so tonight's message is called Guard Your Heart. And again, I think this is probably, if you can just maybe get that picture right there, that's so important to know, that above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's from Proverbs 4:23. Everything that we do comes out of our heart. The words that we speak, the actions, the motivations behind our actions all come from that wellspring. Another version says it from, you know, it flows out of the wellspring of your heart. And so let's jump into that a little bit and talk about the heart. You know, with the heart, one of the things that I thought was really important to talk about was that, you know, there's sort of a dilemma, because when you talk about guarding your heart, it's sort of counterintuitive because as a Christian, we're kind of told to take no thought for tomorrow and to be kind of free and in giving our love and just what we put our attention to. When we serve the Lord, there's a certain freedom that comes from that that's sort of against guarding. It's sort of like throwing off restraint and really going for it with God. But then there's the other part where the Lord talks about, we're supposed to count the cost. You know, we're supposed to think, you know, it isn't easy to be a Christian. I mean, it's easy in one sense, in that it's a lifestyle you choose. And once you've chosen that, then everything kind of falls into place for you. But being a Christian, as you can tell by looking at world news, it's not always a walk in the park. You know, I think as the days go on, we're going to even see days that get darker and darker for those that call themselves Christian. So the thing is with guarding our heart, I think it's a matter of using the tools God gives us and the resources that he gives us to build ourselves up in our faith and to walk with him through all these things in life so that we can be strong for him. One of the more interesting lessons I think Jesus taught comes from Luke 16. I want to go there. Again, speaking about that, there's the free part and then there's this whole almost shrewdness part that we have to be as a Christian. And Jesus called it out. It's a really unusual verse, and you don't hear a whole lot of people teaching on it. But anyway, Luke 16:8, if we can pull that up. We got it there?
I don't think you have it.
I don't have that one?
I don't think so.
Okay. Originally, this is another thing how God works funny. I have on my desk at work, behind security at Atascadero State Hospital, is a nice stack of handouts where I had all the scriptures and stuff I was going to do tonight, and I managed to walk away from work and not bring them with me. So I threw an impromptu PowerPoint together. So
maybe
hopefully it still works.
Maybe all the patients will get
there. We can give them out there, yeah, for sure. For sure, absolutely. In any case, if it was on the board, you'd see a scripture that says Luke 16:8. If you have your Bible with you, you can turn there. And again, Jesus did something I'm still not sure I quite get it, but I think I get most of it. And it says this: the rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And it's true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than the children of light. So the story to back up the background story for that is Jesus was telling like a parable where he was commending a guy, essentially, because this guy was told, you're going to be fired. And this guy was like an accountant for a business firm. And so I'm going to get fired. So what he did is he called in all these people that owed the boss money, and he was forgiving debts, some all of it, some part of it. And Jesus was saying, you know, this guy was kind of smart. He realized, you know, his days were numbered, and he did everything he could to maximize his position, you know, with the resources that he had at his hand. Now, Jesus called him shrewd. I thought that was interesting because we would probably use other words today, like, you know, fraudulent and things like that. But in any case, the point was Jesus wasn't commending his fraudulence. He was commending his resourcefulness and saying, my children should be really resourceful too as the days go ahead because, you know, there's going to be times when you can't out and out deny Jesus, and yet you can't necessarily, you know, broadcast from the rooftops because they'll blow the rooftop up in some countries. So you have to have that balance of using God's counterintelligence inside of you to whisper in your ear to tell you which way to go. So how do you figure out, you know, when am I supposed to be shrewd? When am I supposed to be free and open and soft and pliable, you know? So I think the answer, of course, comes from God's word. And that, hopefully I have this scripture in there, is Philippians 4. Maybe. Yeah. All right. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So here's that key to the guarding of the heart, isn't it? It's that as we grow in our relationship, we talk to him, we pray, we tell him what we need, and we thank him for what he's done. It seems kind of simple, doesn't it? I mean, it's sort of like, okay, there's no big theological principles that I have to really delve into the original Greek to find out. It's kind of like, boom, don't worry, pray, you know? It's easy to say when life's going good, right? When you've got a job, and you've got your health, and your grandparents are still alive. I don't know. You know, all those things. Life has a way of rolling down the road, and life isn't always great, and it isn't always easy, and it isn't always to just don't worry, be happy. If anybody ever tells you that you can do that as a Christian, just don't worry and be happy, that's not reality. That isn't what the Lord's asking us of us at all, to check your brain at the door and just paint a happy Jesus smile on your face and say everything's great, because everything isn't always great. But we do have a process that he gives us to walk through that time. So I think in this thing, step by step, going back through these verses, first we have to tell him what we need and thank him for what he's done. I think we take that for granted sometimes and think, well, you know, God's pretty smart. He already knows what I need. I can probably just kind of skip that part. But it isn't so much that he needs to hear you say what you need. It's because he's trying to pull you into relationship. He wants that relationship. As a parent, you don't wait till your kid says, I'm hungry, to feed them. You know they need to eat. You feed them. And the Heavenly Father is so much better than we are as a parent, and he knows what we need. But yet he likes that interaction. He wants us to come to him and tell him what we need. And even more important, I think, than telling him what we need is that piece about being thankful for what he's already done. And if you're walking in a difficult time, that's not always really easy to do, to thank him for what he's done, because all you can really see is that I just got the pink slip and I'm out of work as of tomorrow. And I have a very close family member who was literally in that situation this week. This week, I believe it was on Thursday, Thursday was his last day of work, so it must have been the week before. Anyway, he was told, your services are no longer needed at work. And before his last day was Thursday, Wednesday, I guess, he got a phone call that he got a new job. So literally, God worked all that out very quickly for him. So that's awesome, but the point is God was already working before you're fired came across the phone, or however the message was delivered. It wasn't fired, it was laid off, I guess. But in any case, one way or another, this gentleman was out of work and now is no longer out of work. And he was giving thanks for what he's done. Now, hopefully, he'll do what I'm suggesting and write it down, journal it or something. If you don't have a journal, I really recommend you find a notebook to write stuff down, especially when God has done something especially cool like that, provided beyond your expectation. I'm going to write today down how the Lord provided this amazing worship team today to lead us in worship when it looked pretty bleak, like we weren't going to be able to have a worship service tonight. Not service, but we weren't going to be able to certainly sing and praise him the way we were able to. That was something God did. So those things you need to put in this into remembrance, into a journal or whatever, so that when you are faced against something that looks hopeless, you're going to go, wow, God, you know, you've always come through. You've always made a way. Like we sang, love came down and rescued me, you know, and that's kind of what it's all about. So faith really is trusting God, because he's really already shown himself to be faithful to us. He's already been there through, you know, I always like to say it this way. I probably, because I'm old, I get to say things over and over again. You can just smile and say he's old. But I always say that faith is much easier to get a hold of when you're looking backwards. It's much easier to look back over your shoulder and say, oh, wow, God had my back in that situation. When this happened, you know, when I went through unemployment and bankruptcy and all that stuff, when I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, literally, he was with me. And I can say that honestly and truthfully without any hesitation, so that when I see that thing coming up again, whether it be any of those circumstances or new circumstances that I haven't seen yet, that he will be there faithfully to get me through it. It may not be exactly the way I want him to, which is a sort of a little asterisk you put next to that. He has a way of doing stuff that isn't quite on my timetable. Like, you know, maybe like in that case of this friend, waiting till the day your employment ends before opening the new job. I mean, sometimes you have to take a step and just know that he's going to catch you without having that confidence of the concrete in front of you to fall on. So the peace that he promises is a guard that protects us and our hearts from the attacks of the enemy. It's something that he gives that nothing else can be quite like. Nothing else is as solid as that peace that comes when we've totally placed our trust in him and given it to him. The one thing that the enemy does, he's not very clever. He uses the same stuff over and over again. So that's one of the really neat things about reading the Bible, is that we can see the tricks that he used on people back then, and realize he uses pretty much the same tricks now. And I'm thinking specifically about the Garden of Eden, right? What did he do to Eve? He raised a doubt in her mind about God's faithfulness. Where were they? They were in a garden. Everything was provided, all the food they could ever need, health, and they, you know, they had a job, right? They were naming the animals, and just they had a wonderful existence that God planned for them, and they had a detour. But the point is that the enemy came along and whispered in the ear, "Did God really say that?" And that's the same trick he's going to try to use against us. It's like, you know, he says, "Trust me, in spite of the fact, you know, that your eyes tell you that whatever this sickness is normally a really bad thing and often leads to death, and you're standing there with that sickness and you have to stand against it, and you're saying God has promised that he will be with me and he will heal my body." So the enemy's going to whisper, you know, he's going to take that little voice, "Did God really say that?" And you're going to have to look him back in the eye and say, "Yep, he sure did." So anyway, that little bit of doubt that causes us to look aside is often what steals our peace. And I'm just encouraging you not to look away, to look intently at the eye of the Lord and let your eyes stay fixed on him. The next thing, really, again, focusing on the Word of God is so important. That's why I can't emphasize enough the importance of just reading it. One thing I will say, too, about reading the Word, sometimes if you haven't read the Bible a lot, or maybe you have read it a lot in the past but aren't currently reading it a whole lot, the temptation is to feel like, I got to get caught up. So I got to bomb through and like bang out a whole bunch of chapters to get caught up in my Bible reading. And I would challenge you to flip that around and don't even do that. Find one place to start and take one verse and get it. Whatever that verse is, it could be something like this next one, Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. We already kind of looked at 23, but I want to back up a little bit. If we can bring that one up, hopefully we have a slide for that. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on this one because I think this one's really rich. "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." So this is so much more important than just, you know, listening, you know, reading the Word or whatever, and you're just kind of speed reading and just going, okay, that's really good. But, I mean, pay attention to it. Dig in and just say, God, I'm not going to turn the page until this thing is really down inside of me. I really want to get this. So I think we just need to apply concentration. We need to concentrate on the promises of God that he gives us and try to look for a plan that we can activate those words in our life. He'll give you those. If you ask him, say, "Lord, you know, that's interesting that you're telling me to not lose sight of your word and to let them penetrate. How can I do that?" Ask him if you're not sure, because that's the kind of God he is. He leads us and gives us and provides us for all those things. So let's look at 420 real quick. Let's zoom in. Paying attention. So I thought of this when I was reading "Pay Attention to the Word." I was even thinking of this plane that's sort of, I guess, still missing, the Malaysian aircraft that's still gone. Now it was coming out, I think, this last week. They believe that the pilot may have had the plane on autopilot when the plane disappeared. I guess that's not terribly unusual. Planes have autopilot for a reason. I guess they need to take a break or whatever. And when you're flying across the Atlantic, there's usually not a whole lot of icebergs that are 30,000 feet in the air and stuff. So I guess autopilot's kind of normal, but still it's good to pay attention where you're going. And I thought about our spiritual life can be kind of like that when you're zooming along, kind of like a jet airplane flying through the sky through your life. And obviously you're feeling pretty secure because, again, there's no trees at 30,000 feet. So you're feeling pretty good, like you're not going to run aground like the old captain of the Titanic or whatever. But the point is that stuff does happen when we're not paying attention. And so that's just an admonition to us to really latch on to God's word, to not take our eyes off of him, to not go into spiritual autopilot by just, you know, kind of wake up, brush teeth, put shoes on, go to work. You know, life, the Christian life, I think, and that I think I know, is meant to be an intentional life. That we, you know, we wake up with great purpose with everything you do. Everything you do should have purpose. Well, maybe you can put your shoes on without purpose, but, you know, you'd look really silly if you got the wrong shoes on. So, you know, mismatched pair or whatever. So we're going to pay attention when we put on our shoes, and we're going to pay attention when we live our life before the Lord. So in addition to paying attention, the next thing we're admonished to do is listen carefully. I've got most of these things underlined there, I think. Yeah, listening carefully. I'm pretty hard of hearing myself. I don't know if you can see, I've got these little hearing aid things in. And even then, they don't work very well. I miss a lot. So I have to really pay attention. And sometimes if you're talking to me, you might find I have to repeat, you know, ask you to repeat yourself. If you introduced yourself, I might ask you to give me your name again, because it just, I have to really, really pay attention in order to get what people are saying. And I think there's a little spiritual lesson in that too, that sometimes we can become spiritually deaf. It happens a lot when you're a Christian and you've heard a lot of sermons, right? You've been in church every Sunday since you were about this tall. And you'll hear these Proverbs 4 for the 100th time, right? And maybe you just kind of let it go right past you. You know, well, that's nice. It doesn't really apply to where I'm at today, so whatever. And then other times, maybe we hear something that does apply fairly closely to our life, and we make the decision not to listen. I don't know, pick something really random. Maybe you heard a great message from the pastor on tithing, and you went, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear that one today. And so the next time, maybe a year down the road or so, maybe not quite that off, maybe twice a year, I don't know. Maybe the pastor cranks out another message on tithing and la, 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 la. Next thing you know, you don't have to put your fingers in your ear. You can just let him talk and it'll go right past you without getting down inside of you, because you're so used to not listening to that particular word, right? I don't know if I'm making sense. I feel like I'm kind of going on, but I think the point may be coming across that that's what happens to us if we're not careful. And if we don't listen carefully, if we don't pay attention specifically to the word, it can kind of, we can get numb to it. We can get to where it just sort of bounces off and doesn't penetrate, which is one of the other things that comes up in here, one of the next things. Oh, actually, let me stay in my, let's see, listen carefully. We talked about that. Let's see. We talked about that. Well, let's move forward. Let's go to the next. What I want to do, I don't want to belabor it too much, but I think we do, as believers, have a tendency to become a little bit dull of hearing. So let's just be remind ourselves that in our daily devotional reading, when we come and hear to God's word, when we see a presentation or something, to really make a point of trying to let that word soften our heart and to penetrate. Okay, I got that too. All right, so anyway, don't lose sight. James 1, 23 and 24 talks about this a little bit. About not losing sight. Do we have that one up? There we go. Don't lose sight. That's again, this is amplified in James, but he says it this way: for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself and you walk away and you forget what you look like. Now, I thought that too sounded kind of like one of those verses that's kind of weird. I mean, who does that? You really look in a mirror and forget what you look like? But then again, I don't know, have you ever known anybody, it wouldn't be me or you, but have you ever known somebody that can't let a mirror go by, you know, and they're you know, checking it, and it's all that, and it's like there's just something about having to make sure everything's there and all that. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with making sure that, you know, you haven't got something hanging from your nose or, you know, whatever, but the point is that you can get carried away with being a little bit self-absorbed by looking at a mirror, but how silly to look at yourself and forget what you look like. And that's exactly what we do when we hold our literal face up to God's mirror, which is the word, and we don't apply it to ourselves, and it doesn't alter our appearance, so to speak. And when we really forget not only what we look like, but what we look like with Christ inside of us, because he is about changing us from the inside out, changing us into his own image. So when we aren't reflecting his image, it's much like what he's saying here. We've not let the word penetrate. We've not let the word get into us and change us into that reflection of him that he wants us to be. So there's that. And again, one other thing that can happen too, with not only just like listening to the word and not obeying it, but sometimes we can brace other things. There's nothing wrong with political activity, let's say. But what happens is sometimes I think this may be one of our current generational problems in America, is that we maybe have gone a little overboard trying to embrace political correctness and political ideology as opposed to just simply grabbing onto Jesus and his word and letting that suffice. And so sometimes we can substitute other things for God's word and kind of lose sight of him. There's nothing wrong, again, with fighting for social justice and all those things. I'm very much for those things. It's just that Jesus didn't call us to be social advocates. He called us to love. He called us to serve. He called us to be his heart. He called us to be images of him, like I said earlier. So I think that's where we need to focus. And all those other things should fall into place. And we deservedly can get stones thrown at us as Christians if we are living an agenda that's not Jesus's agenda. His agenda, what, I mean, he said pure religion is this, right? What did he say? Take care of the widows and orphans, love people, you know, stuff like that. That sounds like a social agenda, but it isn't a social agenda for the sake of being socially and politically correct. It's because he told us to care for people and to love people. So it should flow from a heart of love. It should flow from a heart that's like his. And I heard somebody say this, I don't know, it made me wince a little bit, but somebody I was listening to on the radio said, if you can't do it in love, just don't do it at all. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, that hurts, because I mean, I've done it. You see the guy with his sign, hungry, and it's like that little thing that kicks in. It's like, oh, really? You know, and like, have you tried working? You know, it's like this little judgmental thing kicks in, and you just begrudgingly pull out a buck or two, and you throw it in the basket, and you roll on. See, I don't know. Maybe doing that's, I don't know if I would say that not doing that is better. Doing that with a bad attitude is not as good as... I'm all fuddled up on my tongue. Did you get what I'm saying? Yeah. I think the guy's going to appreciate the $2 even if you did it with a bad heart, but you get my point, that I think God is who's keeping heavenly bank accounts for us. He knows the motivation behind our gifts, and I think we'll all feel much more... I don't know, better about our walk with the Lord if we can do things like that from a right heart. And so I would say one thing I was taught by a great woman who is no longer with us, but my mother-in-law, Nancy, I was taught that when something kicks you in the heart the wrong way, you know, and you recognize it for what it is, say, okay, that wasn't a good attitude. What's wrong with my heart that I felt like that? And take that to God. Make that be part of your prayer life. Say, take that wrong attitude, that wrong motivation, and say, Lord, I want to give, but man, my heart isn't giving cheerfully. What's the deal? And then make that, again, part of your devotional act toward him. The next thing that was mentioned in Proverbs was letting them penetrate, letting the Word of God penetrate. And I thought about it this way. You know, you can just take... For those of you that are vegetarians, I apologize, but you can just take a piece of steak and throw it on the barbecue, and it comes out pretty good. You know, I mean, throw it on the barbecue, you cook it to the appropriate doneness, and it tastes pretty good. But, wow, I have gone, and I'll pick on somebody else who's not here, my daughter Carrie, who has this way with a piece of steak that's like crazy. It's like, what did you do to it? Because it tastes so much better than anything I've ever eaten in even a restaurant. And it's all about the preparation. It's the marination that lets those spices and things penetrate into the meat so that when you cook it, it's deep down inside and the flavor comes out. So I think the Word of God is a lot like that. We have to let it marinate. And that's kind of also what I was saying earlier about not just skimming through the Word of God speed reading style. Take time and let it penetrate. Just even if it's just one verse for the day, take that one verse and make it yours. Let it really penetrate, go over it and over it and over it, and just let God speak to you on that level, and as long as it takes to get it. You might be on one verse for a week. Don't let that hinder you from your relationship with the Lord. So the last thing, at the end of Proverbs 4, back to that again, at the end of that, and verses 22 and 23, we talk about the benefits and what the benefits are of basically that life. And could you back up to that Proverbs again for me? Proverbs, let's see. There we go. And so again, it talks about penetrate deep in your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. That's what we wanted to bring out. That again, God is going to do his part as we do our part. So it's a two-way street, right? It'd be nice if just God could do everything. Have you ever met somebody that, you know, something bad happens in their life? God, why did you do that? You know, why did you let that happen to me, or all this stuff? You know, we think about it as this whole one-way action of God acting on people, but life really was designed by him to be a two-way street. He allows things, yes, some of them are unpleasant, And then he's eliciting a response out of us that will bring life to us, that will grow us. So again, from personal experience, when bad things have happened, I have found that when I just say, okay, you know, here comes this thing that I wouldn't wish on my enemy, but you know what? If I will allow him to do his part by placing that trust in him, that full, wholehearted trust, he's always going to guide you through that season and that time. So guarding our heart, I don't know, I hated to do this, but I had to bring up that GPS analogy again. It's like, it's sort of that God's positioning system, GPS, you know? It's like, when you guard your heart, it's like it sets your heart on the right course. Like it says there, it determines the course of your life. You know, if when your heart's in the right place, when you're allowing the Spirit to direct you, your path is going to be the one that he's chosen for you. And though it's true that, you know, if you ever read books like Pilgrim's Progress, you know, they're full of analogies and allegories, I guess is a better word, of what happens when you take the wrong path and what it takes for God to put you back on the right path. But again, how much better just to allow him to direct you from the get-go and just stay on his path for you. So again, the two-way street, our part, let's go look at Luke 21:34. I'm not sure, is that one in there? There it is, Luke 21:34. Guard yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation. And I put in parentheses, those things, overindulgence. You know, we tend sometimes as believers to kind of look at certain sin and think that that thing is worse, you know, than maybe something else. And I could get in a little trouble, but, you know, we're easily distracted, I think, by certain sins of the day, like maybe in this case, let's say, same-sex marriage, homosexuality, that kind of thing, as opposed to any other kind of thing that's counter to God's word. And it's all one thing. It's all just off-track lifestyle, off-track behavior. And God just wants so much for us to stay on track with him. So the overindulgence or the dissipation, as it says in the word here, if we just walk in it and allow it to just take over, it comes upon us like a trap. In verse 35, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But here it is, stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So again, that's our part, staying awake and praying and staying alert to his word and what he's saying to us in this day. And as we do that, then God does his part. And I love this Psalm 121. It's actually a song we used to sing. It was an old Vineyard song from years ago. But let's look at Psalm 121. It's kind of small. Hopefully you can read it. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. So I just want us to make sure that we're determined to stay on guard, to let our hearts not be easily swayed by life, by the things that come to us, or just by the seasons that the world seems to be in, that we just keep our eyes and our focus on him and stay on guard. I think that's really it for today. Anybody, thoughts, ideas? Kind of wanted to make this almost Bible study style, but I kind of rambled on. Yeah.
I thought of something when you were reading the verse about where it says, like, pay attention and listen to all these things and let them penetrate into your heart. Has anyone ever read the Narnia books? Mm-hmm. I'm reading the one right now. Which one is it? The
Horseman
book? No, it's really where they leave the school. Where it like, starts off in their elementary school and they leave. Well, at any rate, like, the children in... Yeah, no, it's the Silver Chair. The children, like, they encounter Aslan, and he gives the message to the girl, the directions about what she's going to do, and he says, like, repeat it over and over and again and over to yourself when you're awake, when you're asleep, so you can remember what you're supposed to do in order to get the job done. And it really resonated with me. Like, it's the same thing. It's just, it's a map, basically, for us to walk, and there is an end.
Amen.
So.
Amen. That's good. Let's do this. Let's have the worship team come back up. And what I'm hoping we can do is just allow the Lord to minister to us, especially along these terms about guarding our hearts, letting our hearts be open to Him, and then just desiring more of Him like we sang earlier. And while they're getting ready, I'd like us to stand, and I want to pray a blessing over us. This is one from Ephesians chapter 3. I think the words are really good for us, and I read them a few weeks ago, but let's just let these words receive these words, I should say, as a blessing. Ephesians 3 says this: "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees, and I pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth, and I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong, and that you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Amen.
Why are you striving these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? Why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Just don't turn away. Why are you looking for love? Why are you still searching as if I'm not enough? So where will you go, child? And where will you run? So where will you run? Cause I'll be by your side. Thank you. lift my eyes up, up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. Come and give me life. I lift my eyes up, up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me. Does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven, creator of the earth.
You guys can keep playing if you want. That's awesome. Just like to encourage us all to just not leave tonight if you have a need, if there's something that we can pray for you about. We'd love to do that. If you are in that position of needing, feeling like you need to be closer to the Lord, we can pray for you for that. If you have a sickness need or a job need or a relative that needs some prayer, whatever, we're here to pray for you. So we can do that. And thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for worshiping the Lord with us tonight. And we'll see you soon.
Your child and your friend.
guess we can't really go to YouTube. There's still daylight, you know?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
You're having too much fun over there.
I'm having too much fun. Hi, Peanut.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, he had a poop one. Sorry.
Well, who needs change of tables, eh?
Hey.